Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
It is sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And it's a really, really, really important one this morning. As always, lads, a little ears warning here. If you've little ears around the place or of a sensitive nature, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Today we're going to chat about why it's important to talk to kids about sex, porn and consent. It's all over the news this week. There have been calls on the government to introduce more stringent regulations on the use of smartphones by minors and to develop just better sex education so children have the language to ask questions and access the right information. Well, joining me on the line is our relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Hi, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
All good. So, Rachel, why is it so important to talk to kids about sex and porn and consent?
Oh, it's so vital. You know, as I was talking about with Lottie a few weeks ago, there's an absolute pandemic of sexual coercion and abuse in schools that's been coming out more and more over the last, you know, weeks and months, well, years, but particularly in the last few months. You know, kids and teens are talking about sex, seeing sex in films, on TV. They're seeing porn, as we've talked about before, as young as 5 and 6. You know, as soon as they can, you know, look at a screen, be that a phone in school or a laptop at home, and they're experimenting. You know, also then the majority of people start having sex as a teenager, so it needs to be discussed. And then we have just really, really awful stats. You know, 1 in 4 people experience sexual abuse as a child. That is absolutely massive. And also, really interestingly and sadly, as many as about 40% of children who are sexually abused are actually abused by older or more powerful children. You know, so it's not just abuse by adults, which is a really interesting one to look at, you know, really sad and difficult as well, but needs to be talked about. So, you know, basically how to help kids and then adults get better about setting and respecting boundaries is to give them lots of practice at doing this when they're young, as soon as possible.
What's the best way to deal with people who argue that this issue just doesn't exist, is being exaggerated, or who say that society and porn affect boys negatively too?
Well, you know, look, it does affect people of all genders, but I think often what happens is that the conversation can be derailed when some people feel that they are being particularly discriminated against based on gender. You know, so I think going to the stats here, you know, of course, some statistics are misleading. Sometimes they're biased. Sometimes they're inaccurate, but they can give you a decent idea of the landscape. You know, so even just knowing that like 1 in 4 women in Ireland have been abused by a current or former male partner. You know, again, that is not to say that issues don't affect men terribly. As we've talked about many times on this show, about 4 times more men take their own lives in Ireland than women. And of course, mainstream porn and social media hurt boys. And men also experience domestic abuse by women. However, that's not so much the issue that we're talking about here. So I think it's really unhelpful when people attempt to change the topic when we're trying to understand a particular issue and work out what we can do about it. And in this case, it's a lot to do with, you know, sexual coercion in amongst young people, but particularly in the case of girls. And then also how porn and smartphones and media are affecting children of all genders. So, I mean, there's a lot of different issues.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen it in the media, horrific cases of girls being abused by young boys. We've seen it. It's happened in Ireland. And it's frightening, that statistic you gave us. So where do we start, Rachel? What age do you reckon it is right to start the conversation about sex and consent and porn?
Oh, as soon as you can. Begin talking to your children about representation of gender, sexuality and sex in the mainstream media from the get-go. You know, this is from the cartoons that they're watching to the books that you're reading to them, you know, how you explain bodies to them and communication and respect between people. The sooner you do this, I mean, it's never too late to start, but it's also never too early to start. The sooner you do this, the more you'll establish communication and a relationship between you and your kids that makes contextualizing porn a lot easier as they get older, as well as consent and other issues like sexting and social media. So the younger, the better. And also, you know, just knowing what kind of resources are out there depending on age, because of course this is kind of incremental. You don't want to be talking to a 17-year-old the same way that you're going to be talking to a 5-year-old, obviously. But I think that most of us err on the side of, partly because we have our own shame, lack of information, you know, stigma and hang-ups around it, that most people, most parents err on the side of not talking about it, feeling embarrassed, brushing it under the rug, hoping that it'll go away or that it'll be discussed in schools. And actually, you know, what we've seen is that there's nowhere near the comprehensive level of sex education going on in schools yet. It's definitely getting better, but it's not where it needs to be. So this needs to be an ongoing discussion at home.
So I have a 6-year-old. So where do I start? Like, I mean, you said obviously it's different. You don't talk to a 17-year-old how you talk to a 6-year-old. But, I mean, our school is quite good in the sense that they talk about consent and what's right and wrong and all that kind of stuff, which is good. But you think as young as that we should be talking about, you know, sex?
Well, you can certainly start about, like, let's start with bodies. You know, some kids, like, at this stage, your kids believe and absorb everything that you say. So you can use this opportunity to set yourself up as their, you know, hopefully main source of information.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and don't worry if you don't know. Of course you don't know everything and things are being updated. Of course people are worried about getting it wrong, about different gender identities and ways to describe sex and sexuality. You know, but just doing your own bit of research to keep up on where everything is at. You know, but basically try to answer their questions as honestly and matter-of-factly as possible. You know, some people will say to me, well, like, you know, is it really right to use correct anatomical words from very young? And I say, absolutely. You know, if I understand why parents want to use words like pee-pee and things like that. But I think that, you know, why would we be doing that about certain parts of the body and not others? It kind of sets up this idea that there's certain shameful or wrong parts of the body, rather than understanding that there are certain parts of the body that are more private for some people, and that there's certain things that people can do that are more private. So talking about bodies with really young kids, you know, use proper words: penis, testicles, scrotum, anus, labia, vulva, clitoris, uterus. Use these words. Also have some knowledge of the internal reproductive organs, you know, ovaries, fallopian tubes, bladder, bowel. Talk about that bodies come in all different shapes, sizes and colours, that boys and girls have body parts that might feel good when they're touched, to be able to look after their own body, you know, their private parts, their hair, skin, teeth, this sort of thing, and also begin assertiveness and having boundaries in place. You know, if we've talked about this before, that, like, you know, forcing a kid to be hugged by a family member, I think that really needs to be changed. And a lot of people are doing this, being able to change that a bit, so you can say, you know, I'd love to give you a hug. Are you okay with that? Can I give you a hug? You know, but that there's this consent starting very, very early. Sometimes in some ways, some people will say that this can happen before a child can even talk, you know, that you are setting these motions in place around communication, and that there's this sense of kind of openness and consent.
So basically, as parents, we should be teaching them, most importantly, about boundaries and consent from a very, very early age. That's really interesting. Let's talk about smartphones, because we kicked off by talking about that. So kids who are, I would say, around the 12, 13, 14 mark, when they get their first smartphone, they have access to porn. It's there on the click of a button. How do we talk to them about what they potentially can see and are seeing?
Yeah, I think really important to talk about, like, explaining that porn is entertainment. You know, for many people, porn has been mainstream porn, which is what most of us have free access to. You know, most of that more ethical porn is paid porn, where the performers are properly paid, respected. There's a lot more diversity within there. So what most kids are seeing is a very, very specific type of porn. And so talking about that, being careful to talk about that with them, about how that is entertainment, that it is not meant to be realistic. It is not meant as a sex education. And so, you know, having open discussions about, you know, the differences between real life and the variety within that, you know, that there are lots of kind of books and podcasts that you can direct them to and that they can find themselves to just be able to understand better that sex is not what they're going to be seeing in the vast majority of porn. I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah.
And have open discussions with them about, as I said, the same thing of when they're young, you know, bodies, communication between people, power dynamics, really important, right? Most porn is still, you know, a lot of it is very violent. A lot of it is objectifying of women, which doesn't have to be bad in itself. It's just that when they're only seeing that one type, then of course that's sending messages to children of different genders, of all genders, about what it means to be, you know, a person, to be a boy, to be a girl, to be a woman, you know, to be a non-binary person, all of these things. So start.
So would you say, let's say it's important if your kid has a phone and access to porn sites at the click of a button on their tablet or whatever, you need to be having these conversations?
Oh, God, absolutely. Which wow. basically means if you have a kid, you need to be, you know, even if they don't have their own smartphone, the other kids in school do. Yeah. So they're still going to be shown this around. It's going to be shared, you know, sort of areas of focus here, like discussing what consent means for them. You know, instead of assuming that your child or teenager knows or doesn't know what it means, ask them first. You know, this is often like asking them what they know about a subject. You know, of course, there can be a bit of confusion and embarrassment, and they might be a bit uncomfortable talking to their parent about it. But this is where the sooner that we can start, the more that we can have these open conversations. So that, you know, they know things like, for instance, that consent must be explicit, you know, that yes means yes. Any sexual activity without consent is harmful and actually against the law. You know, even when situations seem cut and dried, that it's important for kids in sexual scenarios and in non-sexual scenarios to check in with other people, with, you know, what's going on with themselves, how the other person is. And that we can help kids avoid these very potentially, you know, dangerous, harmful situations by working out questions that they can use to check in with their, you know, with their friends or with their partners if they're older and they're in a more sexual situation, you know, that we can, you know, work out questions to ask with them.
Yeah. Is there a new law coming out regarding children accessing porn on their phones?
There is, and I think this is it's interesting and quite exciting. So basically, details of this new online safety and media regulation bill are still being drawn up and being finalised at the moment. But it's come about because, you know, parents, teachers, the Gardaí are just so deeply concerned about the access that children have to porn, and fearing that it could lead to increased attacks on girls and women, increased sexual violence towards people of all genders in the years ahead. So, you know, it's back to this conversation of like, it's not that porn in itself is bad or wrong. It's that it is often not age appropriate, and it is often, you know, it's accessible. The type of porn that people are seeing is of such a specific kind that it sends just very harmful messages to people about bodies, about sex, about communication, about care, about empathy. So, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of this sort of law coming in, because of course, some people will say that is, you know, that is restricting people's sort of freedom and rights potentially. But I also think that they're, you know, with the freedom of smartphones and what is available on the internet, unless that is sort of curtailed in some way, you know, we're already seeing lots of negative impacts from that.
A lot of texts coming in, Rachel, for you. Somebody has texted me saying my daughter's 14-year-old friend is giving oral sex to boys. I am very happy that she can communicate with me and tell me. She did ask when she should engage in sexual activities, and I am stonewalled. She is in a long-term relationship with a lovely chap, as long-term as you can be at 14, she says in brackets, but so much drinking, vaping, etc. going on. I have no problem talking to her, but I'm worried I'm saying the wrong thing or the right thing. Any advice there?
Yeah, so, you know, discussing what impact they think their actions might have on other people, you know, that we can talk about, like, there, it's not about a specific age. As you and I have talked about before, Jen, you know, people can mature at different speeds. You know, some people will have, you know, especially if someone has, there's more siblings in a family, older siblings, the younger ones will often be learning information from them, which could be accurate information or could be really not accurate information. But I think, you know, talking to your child or teen about what it is that they already know, asking them about how they feel in their body, what to them is respect, what leads them to, you know, how do they feel comfortable? What do they feel okay saying? How do they set boundaries? Like, yeah. Do they feel comfortable saying, no, that makes me uncomfortable, please stop doing that? Or yeah. I'm up for this, but I'm not up for this. Teaching kids and teens that if someone is applying pressure, you know, it's never okay to pressure someone to engage in any kind of sexual or romantic activity, you know, any activity, you know, or to go further or faster than they're ready for. And likewise, no one should ever pressure them to do the same. You know, so also, like, if you know of someone, if you're saying to our kids, if you know of someone who's being pressured or is applying pressure to other people, don't stay quiet. You know, it's really important to share that with parents, with teachers, and with the person where possible, you know, saying, this is making me feel uncomfortable, what's happening with you or what's happening to you. So that, you know,
what, that's an important question. I think that was, you know, what are you comfortable with, you know, and talking about the peer pressure side of things, because it sounds like from that text that, you know, that girl, like, she might feel a little bit of pressure because her friend is doing it and she has a boyfriend. And so getting to the bottom of that is important, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is, you know, right now there's this something that's called raunch culture, which has been around for, you know, I suppose since the 90s, really, is this idea of kind of capitalist feminism, you know, kind of women want needing to look sort of like Barbie dolls and to, you know, it's kind of a hyper-sexualized culture where everything is based around sex. Again, it's not because sex is wrong, but it's that a lot of raunch culture is the problem is not that it's sexy, it's that it's sexist. You know, it's that women have to look and be a certain way. Now, men also have to look and be a certain way. It's not that it only applies to women, but in many ways, you know, it's damaging to people of different genders in different ways. But it largely is about conforming to sort of sexual and body stereotypes under the guise now of that being freedom. You know, and I would certainly call myself sex positive in the sense that, like, it's absolutely okay for people to have any sort of fantasy or to engage in consensual activity with other people as adults. However, we have to question the sort of structure where what we're calling agency or autonomy or freedom. You know, we're looking at a society that is very hypersexualized. We have everything is embedded in this sort of mainstream porn. And a lot of it is still about sort of women living to please men and appeal to this kind of mainstream media and porn ideals. So talking to our kids about that as well, about what they recognize about, you know, the clothes that they wear, the things that they're interested in, trends that are going around, what's happening on TikTok and Instagram right now. What do they think about that? What parts of that do they feel comfortable with and not comfortable about? You know, these sorts of conversations, you don't have to have all the answers, but you can certainly ask them questions and be able to kind of figure that out together as
Good
you go
point.
Along.
Speaking of figuring things out together, what are some decent resources people can share with their kids?
Oh, some really good ones. We have some great websites for younger children. Mychild.ie is brilliant, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we have sexualwellbeing.ie for older kids as well. So those are some great ones around bodies, consent, respect, porn, social media. There's loads of information there. And, you know, it's a good place to start that you can do with your kids or let them access it on their own.
Good advice, as always. Rachel Cook, thank you so much. We'll chat to you next week. That is Rachel Cook. She's a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She is amazing. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end of it. And she'll be back next week. So if you have a question that you would like us to put to her, please get in touch with the team 24/7. You can just email jen@rte.ie. We'll be back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.